In Israel, the police have long used sleep deprivation, forced exercise, and other means to extract information from suspected terrorists. Information, they say, can prevent terrorist attacks and save lives. Now, some Israelis want to explicitly legalize the use of so-called physical coercion, even if it results in pain and suffering to the detainees. Human rights groups say the Israeli interrogation methods amount to torture, and they say it has to stop. From Jerusalem, NPR's Eric Weiner reports.
The main police station in Jerusalem is known as the Russian Compound. It's an old stone building ringed with barbed wire. It's located in the very heart of Jerusalem, across the street from a row of popular bars and restaurants. Tourists know the compound as one of Jerusalem's architectural landmarks. Every young Palestinian man also knows about the Russian Compound, knows about it, and fears it. Ziad Zago is a college student from Beerzeit University on the West Bank. He spent several days in the prison. He describes how the Israeli police tied his arms behind his back, shackled his feet to a low stool, and covered his head with a dirty sack. Then came the shaking.
The policeman grabbed me by my collar, right next to my neck, and started shaking me very hard, about 30 times in only 20 seconds. I felt like my head was going to explode.
Zagel's story is far from unique. Israel admits that in the past decade, some 8,000 Palestinians have been shaken violently during interrogations. At least one prisoner died, and medical experts warn the practice can cause brain damage. But Israeli officials say it is only in extremely rare cases that anyone is hurt. Gidon Ezra is a former deputy director of the Shin Bet, the Israeli secret police. During his 33 years on the job, Ezra participated in many interrogations, supervised many more. He says every precaution is taken to avoid injuring the prisoner.
Everything is we do is after being sure that these people are not sick, not suffering from anything. We don't want to kill anybody. We would like everyone to go on living in Israel, doesn't kill anybody.
So you would not use the word torture to describe what happens?
I don't think it's torture. Pressure is the right word. Pressure.
Pressure, physical coercion, physical persuasion. These are just some of the terms Israeli officials use to describe their interrogation methods. But human rights activists have another word for these methods, torture. Eitan Fellner is deputy director of Beit Selam, an Israeli human rights group.
The use of euphemisms, such as moderate physical pressure, in order to justify the unjustifiable, or the use of language to anesthetize what they're really talking about, cannot cover for what the Israeli government and the Israeli security forces are doing systematically.
Human rights groups have documented hundreds of cases of what they consider torture of Palestinian prisoners. Shaking may be the most severe example, but prisoners are also forced to stay awake for days at a time or forced to exercise until the point of collapse. Israeli security officials say these methods are meant not to harm a suspect, but to make him uncomfortable and hopefully yield crucial information. But Andre Rosenthal, a lawyer who has represented dozens of Palestinian prisoners, says the interrogations involve more than just a little discomfort.
Preventing you from sleeping for 48 hours and keeping you shackled during that period to a low stool, with your knees sort of crunched up to your chin and your head covered in a sack that you stinks and you can't breathe properly, and that your arms are pulled towards your back and shackled to this stool so that your wrists swell up. Sometimes your legs are also shackled to the stool. That's being uncomfortable. That's torture.
You must remember that Israel is in a singular situation which faces no other country.
Amnon Rubinstein is a member of the Israeli Knesset, or parliament.
Many countries suffer from terrorism, but we have this specific thing, these suicide bombers. People are ready to commit suicide in order to kill as many Jews and Israelis as possible.
Rubinstein is a member of the left-wing Meretz Party and an ardent supporter of the Middle East peace process. But when it comes to the question of interrogation methods, Rubinstein, like virtually all Israeli politicians, takes a hard-line approach. Under certain circumstances, he says, Israeli interrogators must use physical force. This is the so-called ticking bomb scenario. A suspect has information about an impending terrorist attack, information that could save many innocent lives. The only problem is he won't talk.
By using these coercive powers, you can perhaps extract information which would save many, many people's lives.
Is it necessary in your mind under those circumstances?
Yes, and I don't say it easily, but we live in unusual circumstances.
Critics say the so-called ticking bomb scenario is only a myth. There's no evidence, they say, that any lives have ever been saved because of information forcefully extracted from an uncooperative suspect. Israeli police disagree and insist the kinds of interrogation methods they employ are no different from those used in many other countries, including several European ones. The only difference, they say, is that Israel is more open about its practices. Before the police can forcefully interrogate a suspect, they must often seek permission from the Israeli Supreme Court. Then they must follow a strict set of written guidelines. Former police official Gidon Ezra.
In some police take the law in their hands, and they do it without even asking for permission. In Israel, because you ask for every little thing permission, you come to the Supreme Court. You come to the Supreme Court, you put the lawyers and the judge in a situation they don't like and the world doesn't like. It's only because we are too democratic.
But critics say the Israeli system only appears democratic. The courts almost always side with the police and permit the use of force, in effect legally sanctioning a practice many consider torture. Now, some Israeli lawmakers want to go a step further. They've proposed a law that would explicitly allow, quote, pain and suffering inherent in interrogation procedures. Some warn that such a law would set a dangerous international precedent. Again, Eitan Fellner of the human rights group Beit Selem.
I'm very frightened and concerned, and I think that that also the whole international community should be concerned that that a country that sees itself and that it's seen, at least in the United States and in many other countries, as maybe the only democracy in the Middle East, is thinking and to pass a law that will legalize one of the most barbaric practices of humankind.
Israel's interrogation methods have clearly diluted the country's claim that it is the only true democracy in the Middle East. The damage to Israel's reputation, says attorney Andrei Rosenthal, is unnecessary.
There are other ways of getting people to just talk. There are other ways of gathering information. I'm not proposing that I know what the other ways are, but I know that torturing a person in order to get information is wrong.
Rosenthal's office in Jerusalem is located right across the street from the Russian compound, the Israeli police station. One of his clients is being held there, Mohammed Hamdan, a suspected member of Islamic Jihad, a radical Palestinian group. Rosenthal has not been permitted to visit Hamdan. From his office window, he can only watch the tourists mill past the police building and wonder how his client is being treated. This is Eric Weiner in Jerusalem.